It's time for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center. Last winter, while volunteering with Raptor View Research Institute, I participated in the capture and banding of an adult bald eagle. I was extremely excited as we drove up to extricate the eagle from the net, but it quickly became clear that something was seriously wrong with this bird. Our crew leader soon determined that the eagle had been electrocuted by an electrical pole. Singe marks on its legs and belly showed evidence of being severely shocked. Unable to take care of itself, it was crawling with feather lice. All in all, this eagle was a sad sight to see and a complete surprise to me, as I hadn't known that electrocution was a problem for birds. Electrocution actually happens fairly frequently to large bird species. Electricity only runs through closed circuits that allow current to travel. Open circuits do not form a closed loop, so current can't flow and they are safe to touch. This is why birds like crows and pigeons can perch on power lines or electrical poles without getting hurt. These small birds have short enough wingspans that they are usually only touching one electrical element at a time, such as just a wire or the top of a pole, keeping themselves safe and the circuit open. Birds with larger wingspans, such as raptors, herons, and cranes, can close the circuit easily by touching two components at once on poorly configured electrical poles, resulting in electrocution. Because raptors have larger wingspans and commonly perch on poles to look down on fields and search for prey, this dangerous situation occurs frequently. Hundreds of thousands of birds die of electrocution every year. In some states, electrocution accounts for as much as 20% of bald eagle mortalities. The setup of an electrical pole affects how easy it is for birds to touch two elements at once, and there are many ways to build an electrical pole. In general, each one consists of the pole, at least one crossarm, phase conductors, and at least two electrical wires. In order to protect birds from electrocution, many utility companies use suggestions from the Avian Power Line Interaction Committee and now build avian-safe poles. There are several ways to do this. Crossarms and the wires they support can be spaced farther apart both vertically and horizontally, making it impossible to touch two elements at once. Conductors can also be attached to the underside of the crossarms so that birds perching on the wood are safe. When reconfiguring older poles into one of these safe structures is not feasible, insulators can be placed over wires and conductors so that knocking into them would not cause the bird to come to harm. Despite these new standards, electrocution is still a hazard for large birds. Miles of poles with older, unsafe configurations still exist. If a dead bird is ever found at the base of an electrical pole, the pole should be reported to both the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the utility company. A brief investigation is conducted, and if officials determine that the bird died of electrocution, the rule of thumb is that the offending pole, as well as the five poles on either side, be reconfigured to be avian safe. The next time you see a large bird perched on an electrical pole, take a moment to consider whether it is safe. Keep an eye out for electrical poles with unsafe configurations. If you find a dead bird under a pole, make a report in case the cause was electrocution. For these dead birds and for the bald eagle we captured last winter, the consequences of poorly configured poles are severe. The issue of electrical poles as an electrocution risk serves as an example of the complicated relationship between humans and wildlife, one we can surely work to improve in the future. For Field Notes, I'm Jessica Lindsay with Ann Green's Science Writing Class at the University of Montana. Field Notes are brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center, providing natural history education for schools and the public throughout Montana. To find out about upcoming events and programs at the center, call 327-0405 or visit our website at www.montananaturalist.org.